Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our current circumstances, it may be best if you sat. Speaking of circumstances, how are things at your house? How's it looking? You got things up? Are the decorations all where you want it to be? How about the tree? Is it up? Is it decorated? Are your Advent wreath candles burned down to the right point? That's something I remember as a kid. I remember wondering, are we going to get to Christmas in time or are the candles going to burn down to nothing? Another childhood memory for me is the manger scene, the creche. Now, we talked about this the other night, but I still have the creche that my mother used to set up every year very carefully. Over the years, of course, some pieces have gone missing, some have gotten broken, that sort of thing. But for the most part, at least the important parts, those are still intact. It never fails to take me back home when I set it up. It's a very special reminder of the circumstances that I grew up in. Now, I bring that up because in the epistle lesson today, Paul makes it clear that our circumstances are important. Listen again to verse 18 from 1 Thessalonians 5. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God uses all the circumstances of life to reveal His will for each of us in the love of Jesus Christ alone. God uses what happens. God uses what happens in our lives to reach out to us in His love. That can be hard to hear. That can be hard to hear, and that can be hard to understand when you are facing a difficult time in life. When sickness or hardship, death or depression, when sorrow or sadness seem to surround you, it's hard to hear, it's hard to grasp that God reveals His love, even in such circumstances. But think about it for just a moment. Think about it. Has there ever been a time when God truly had turned away? When God truly had left you alone? Now, I know it can feel that way. I know it can feel that way sometimes, but remember what Job went through in his time of testing and hardship. His words reveal that God does not leave us when He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yeah. Job's words help us to understand what it is that Paul is saying to us today. That God is God for us no matter what our circumstances. Now, for a minute, consider how the creche, how the nativity scene came to be. Now, the oldest known artwork that pictures the birth of Christ comes from a funeral chamber, of all places, of a Christian family in the 300s. But the creche, as we know it, actually comes from St. Francis of Assisi, like we talked about on Wednesday night. I want to read you the portion of an article that I found describing how he developed it. The article says, "It was the bitter winter of 1223, and Francis was living in a little cave close to the village of Greccio in the Italian province of Umbria. Here he was alone, praying and meditating. As it was drawing near Christmas, he pondered over the wonderful story of the Incarnation. A great desire took possession of him to bring this message home to the hearts of the villagers. And so all of them were asked to come to the village church at midnight on Christmas Eve. So, full of curiosity, they came, picking their way by the light of lanterns up the hillside to the church. There they found a corner of the church had been transformed into a stable strewn with clean, dry straw and a crude little wooden crib where lay a sleeping figurine of the Christ child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Perhaps, much like the Holy Child, must have peacefully slept on that first Christmas Eve 1,200 years before. Thus says the article. Now, from these beginnings, in 1223, portrayals of the birth of Christ in the form of manger scenes have grown around the world. You know, we have four of them right here on our campus alone. We've got this one, the two out in the narthex, and there's one over in front of the preschool. Be sure to take a look at that one. That one's quite unique. In the Renaissance, the tradition shifted, and it included new settings and new people. It became common to have the stable set in an Italian village with people from that village that they were included as figurines. They portrayed beggars or noblemen, they members of royalty, and one of them even had a village blacksmith. It's now common for the manger scene to be placed in various settings from all around the world. Some of the pictures of creches that I've seen have the stable in everything from Eskimo villages to South African tribal villages. When you look at some of these, they can be very creative and inspiring. I remember looking at one this week that was from the Philippines that always had a pig roasting in it. You just never know. They can be creative, you know. It's really something. The idea that St. Francis began with, to bring two people, the reality of Christ coming to earth as the infant, as a baby, has helped many people to see that God indeed does come to us in all of our circumstances. Consider then John the Baptist's circumstances that we read about in the gospel lesson today. He makes clear to the disciples of the Pharisees that he is not the Christ, the one God sent to bring salvation to the earth, but he is only the herald of that good news. John is the one, is like one of the angels that we often see in a creche. The angels are important. They're important, like John the Baptist is important, not for who they are, but for who they proclaim. They proclaim the good news that God has sent his own Son, the chosen Messiah. He has sent him to us on earth, to the fallen circumstances we are in because of our sin. We had altered the circumstances of God's creation when we brought sin to earth through our disobedience and through our rejection of God. And so God does what he has always done, sought to restore us to him. And to do that, he sent his only begotten Son into the humble and lowliest of circumstances that we see at the manger. Like I said, Jesus was born in the lowliest of circumstances that we can picture. It's so glorified so oftentimes in the creches that we've seen. But in truth, you know, it was rude and crude, smelly, stinky. He came that way so that no one would feel that they were unworthy or that they were lower than he was. And yet, even that was not low enough to accomplish what was needed to restore us to God. Jesus had to face the circumstances or the circumstance of the cross. He had to face his own death in order to bring us the good news that God has sent his light into the world to change us, to change our circumstance from the darkness of sin to the light of the gospel. John the Baptist was the forerunner of that light, preaching repentance So we could be, as we talked about last week, so we could be prepared. It was God's will that John proclaim this good news. It was God's will that the angels declare that his peace had come to earth the night Jesus was born. And it is God's will that Jesus come as a baby and be born like everybody else. Without his coming to earth in this way, in these circumstances, the cross would still be empty, and we would still be lost in our sinfulness. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we're commanded by St. Paul today. Give thanks in all circumstances. And in all circumstances, we know that God is with us. That's what the creche tradition reminds us of. Remember what I said about what I read this week, that the creche, you know, has been set in Italian villages, Native American reservations, royal palaces. Setting the manger in different cultural settings and surroundings helps us to understand that God understands everything about every one of us. He came to be with us in our circumstances, and to take our circumstances on himself. He came to bear our circumstance of sin. There is no sin. There is no sin, not one, that has not been dealt with by Jesus coming as this infant child and then dying on the cross and rising triumphant from the grave. Jesus has entered our world of sin in order to bring his righteousness from God that overcomes all sin and totally cleanses us. His entry into our circumstances comes only because of his desire for us and his love for us, and for no other reason. We have done nothing to make him want to come and love us. Again, his coming in the lowliest of circumstances tells us that God embraces every circumstance that we find ourselves in. We cannot sink so low that God is not there. We cannot sink so low that God is not there. As we close, remember the circumstances of John the Baptist, telling others that Jesus is the one light of God, come into the world to change our circumstances. And also remember that the creche helps our imagination to appreciate the reality, the truth of the incarnation of Christ's birth. In the tradition of how the creche came to be with St. Francis and the people of that Italian village, it also puts Jesus' birth into the circumstances of our life, so that we see that his birth applies to every single person in the world. Again, as Paul says today, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will. God's will for us was revealed in the circumstances of Christ's humble birth. It is God's will that the circumstances of Christ's life, crucifixion, and resurrection apply to us in all of our circumstances. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice as we continue our Advent journey of getting ready for Christ's coming, by which his presence among us transforms us. By his circumstance of birth on earth, our circumstance for life eternal with God in heaven is forever ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please rise.